I think that honesty is still the best policy. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. I think that honesty is still the best policy. No. The world doesn't think that, unfortunately. The world is still telling the children, tell them I'm not home, you know. Lie on the phone. If they give you too much money at the grocery store, you take it because that's your good luck. That's not a matter that you shouldn't do that. And if you find a wallet on the street, first you empty it and then you throw it in the trash. Or you give it to somebody or whatever, I don't know. But you see, there's no feeling of integrity. Honesty is just integrity. And when you have integrity, you couldn't even think of taking something that didn't belong to you. You could not even think of saying something which was incorrect. You could not even think of talking about other people in an unkind way. You could not even think of doing anything which was dishonest. Now, how can we say that? How can we say that when all about us, the world does the other things? The world is dishonest. Now, let's look at this very closely, real quick. If I see the world dishonest, then I am dishonest. Now, that's not a very nice thing, is it? Here I am pointing my finger at the world, and the rest of my fingers are pointing back at me saying, hey, you're dishonest. You couldn't see a dishonest act or activity or person in the universe unless you were. And how does that bear out? How does that bear out? Well, I just wrote a God's Pocket for a practitioner for May, I guess it is, yeah. And so in there, I wrote about what a practitioner is. Well, now, a practitioner is honest. The minister is dishonest. My goodness sakes, that doesn't sound very good either. The minister looks at the problems and says, you're real, you're real. Now, we've got to take care of you because you're real. You're a headache, you're a heartache, you're a problem. You're real, we've got to take care of you. And of course, that's not what it's all about. These are all illusions. They come and they go and they are and they aren't. Whereas a practitioner looks at what?
Reality.
A practitioner looks at the real. A practitioner looks at the unchangeable aspects of it. A practitioner looks at the original purity and integrity of the person and not the occasional glimpse that they might have of a little imperfection. Now, I'm going to tell you this here, and you can throw it right back at me and hit me all you want. A little child is the baddest thing you can ever see in your life. When he is all dirty. You dirty child. You dirty, dirty child. Now, if you go in the bathroom, you wash up, you do this. That'll never come clean. You've got that paint on you, and you've got this on you, and you're a dirty, dirty child. Well, now, is that the reality? If the mother really loved the kid and understood that this is part of growing up, you know, experimenting with paint and other things like that that you shouldn't do, but yet you should do, because how are you going to learn about it if you don't experiment? So the child comes in, and he's all filled with paint, and he's all filled with dirt, and the mother looks at him and says, oh, my goodness sakes. Well, I guess we've got a job ahead of us. Are you ready? What do you mean, Mom? Well, we've got to take that paint off. You've got to clean that paint away from your skin, because if it clings to your skin, it may make some red marks and be uncomfortable for you. But if we clean it off right away, then it won't make any difference, you know. But, Mom, it's all okay. I can let it just wear off. You know, it'll take a year or two to wear off, but that's okay. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. And Mother says, I know, and that's just fine. But we're going to clean it off because I'd like to see it clean. I'd like to see my real little boy underneath that, all that paint and all that dirt. But I know you're down there. I know you're in there. And I know you're perfect, and I know you're wonderful. So let's just get that stuff off. And so you can't say that that's a dirty little boy, that's a terrible little boy underneath the paint and the dirt. You can only say that, hey, we'll work on that. We'll work on it. We are working on revealing the child beneath the paint. We're working on revealing the perfect integrity and purity of that being underneath the dirt of playing out in the yard. And, you know, every day that kid comes in the house, he's dirty as can be, and his mother knows that he's under there. She knows that he's under that dirt, and that they're just going to say, now jump in the bathtub and get all scrubbed down and play with your ducky-ducky and just have a good time. And when you're ready, I'll come in and help you get ready. You just holler. And so the kid goes in the bathroom and takes off his clothes and spreads them all over the floor and jumps in the tub, which his mother had already had waiting because she knew this was an ordinary ritual. And so he gets all cleaned up. Mom! And she comes in and she sees the bathroom in a disarray, which too has its original purity and integrity. But she isn't touched by it. She knows the honesty of the situation. She knows that beneath all that mess is her beautiful bathroom. She knows beneath all that mess is her beautiful son. She knows the truth about it. Now, if she were to complain about him being dirty, what do you think he'd do? He'd go out and get dirtier. He'd go out and be really dirty, and he'd come in and hide and come in with her not looking and come in dirty, climb in the bed. What a mess. But you see, when we fight these things, we empower them to continue. So it says here, I think that honesty is still the best policy. And what does honesty mean? Honesty is, if you're saying honesty is the best policy, what does honesty mean, Ingeborg? To
be correct.
Yes, to tell the
truth.
Yeah, to tell the truth, to be correct. And of course, truth is relative and correct is relative. But essentially, we know what we mean. When you're telling the truth, you are telling that which is so. Now, you are sick. And you are terrible, and you have this, and you have that, and you have the other thing. That's the truth. I mean, you're going to the doctor, and the doctor's taking your temperature and saying, you got it. And that's the truth. But that's the truth of an illusion. Now, what kind of truth are we talking about here when we say, I think honesty is still the best policy? Anybody got a comment?
Unchangeable.
Honesty is the best policy. What do you think?
The truth of my reality.
Honesty is the best policy. What do you think of that? Now, just don't get so flamboyant. Just whatever you think.
Being true to myself.
I think that honesty is still the best policy. Honesty means that you stand up for what is true. You stand up for what is pure. You stand up for what is right. Stand up for what is good. And the mother did not back down because she saw her dirty son. She just said, son, we got some work to do. You got to get that scrub brush out there and get to work. Oh, mom, that hurts. Well, don't get the paint on. You don't have to have the scrub brush. Take it off, you know. But that's okay. We'll go gentle. I mean, she's not there to be mean. She's being there to be honesty. She is bringing out that which is hidden. And oftentimes, the things that are hidden are the wonderful truths. The people go around spreading feathers everywhere, don't they? They just love to take their feather pillow and shake it out in the wind. And the feather pillow is like gossip or like mean tales or like lies. They get spread out in the wind and they go into different places and with different people in different circumstances, and people believe them. That's all they have to know, is what floats into their hand. Oh, did you know that Mrs. So-and-so had a problem? Did you know that they were going to get a divorce? Did you know that they were going to get married? Did you know, you know, and how'd you know all that? Well, it's just a little feather floating by told me about it, you know. And this is what happens with gossip. This is what happens with lies. This is what happens when people start telling things like that. I told the boys, I said, Michael, whatever you do, just tell the truth. And you never have to worry about anything. And then that's the last I heard of it. But that's okay. I made my statement, and he did whatever he felt was right to do, and that's great. Now, where are you? Are you any more competent in carrying out the truth than Michael was? Are you any more competent in carrying out the truth than anybody else that we know of in that regard? If someone says to you, I'm your teacher. Now, San Francisco is south of San Diego. And he says, oh, no, no, no! And I say, hey, I'm your teacher. And you say, yeah, but San Francisco is not south of San Diego. And I said, well, what I say is true. What I say is correct. Now, if I say to you that if you eat this bread, you're going to get some sort of virus because that bread has been baked in a virus bakery and it's got all sorts of viruses in it. And you say, oh, come on now. And I said, well, go ahead and eat it. And you eat it and you come down with the viruses. Now, not because they were there, but because I told you they were there and you expected them there and you acted as though they would be there. Now, it wasn't the truth, but you believed in that lie because you didn't want to believe it. You wanted, oh, it's not there, and I'm not disturbed. And then, oh, I feel, oh, you know, you play the game really nice. But what is that all about? That's the feather thing. That's the sending out all of these negative vibrations and then having to pay the price for the negative vibrations. And we all are subject to that. We all are subject to that. Honesty is the best policy. But are you able to be honest under all circumstances? Are you able to even know what is true under all circumstances? Now, if I say to you that San Francisco is south of San Diego, and I say, I'm your teacher, so just accept this now. I'm teaching you 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4. I'm teaching you San Francisco is south of San Diego. And you say, well, Herb, it's awfully hard for me to appreciate that since I know geography. And I've been to San Francisco, and it's a long way from San Diego, and it's not south of there. And if you went south of there with San Francisco, you'd have to go south of the border. And San Francisco is a big area. But that's not the point. The point is, when I say something to you, and I want you just to believe it, I want you just to go along with it, and you know that I am doing this for a reason. And you will never really understand the reason because you are too logical. And there is no understanding God with logic and reason because there's no balance, no logic, no reason to that. And I'm teaching you that aspect of it, not to be tied up by this. So then Sylvia says, huh, San Francisco south of San Diego, huh. And I say, Sylvia, come here. Watch the television. There's a big earthquake going on, and San Diego is moving north, and San Francisco is moving south. See it? See it? Just like a landmass, like San Francisco is floating in the ocean, going right down south of San Diego, and San Diego is going all the way, almost up to San Francisco. Oh, come on now, that is impossible. That is unbelievable. Oh, it is, isn't it? It is, huh?
Well.
Do you think that perhaps tomorrow that might be the case?
Yeah.
Do you think that in the extent of all history that that might be? Well, right now, yes, right now it is that way. But you don't want to believe it because you want to believe the illusion that San Francisco appears to be up there. See, you want to believe that illusion. And I'm teaching you not to believe in these illusions. I'm teaching you that honesty is the best policy. That there is, and then be underneath that dirt. Who's there?
The little
boy. The little boy. And underneath all of our problems, what's there?
Our peace,
our perfection, love, joy, happiness. You see, when we can learn to release these things and live only in the now. Now, are you in San Diego? No.
No.
So therefore you don't know where San Diego is. Are you in San Francisco?
No.
Then you don't know where San Francisco is. Now, can I click my finger and have the year 3000 be here?
Yeah.
Or maybe 300,000?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we would find many tectonic plates moving around and shifting around, and real estate changing locations and so forth. And you say, well, San Francisco down to San Diego, that's awfully hard to realize. Well, don't. The minute you start trying to make sense out of these things, what you're doing is you're putting it out of your ken. You're putting it out of your understanding. Mm-hmm. You're putting it into a realm of logic and reason. And part of my work with you is to share with you that there is no logic and no reason. And yet, I want you to be logical and I want you to be reasonable. But there's no logic and no reason. So, you say, Herb, that doesn't help us. No, it doesn't. Now, did you listen to those two programs on that video today? Did you see the interview with God? Mm-hmm. Now, can you imagine the eternal beingness speaking with such compassionate words?
No.
The eternal beingness is principle. Mm-hmm. And I've nothing against what they've done. It's as beautiful as one can imagine it to be. And it certainly is human and lovely, but it is not consistent with what the divine is. Now, we read the Bible, and we read all sorts of things that Jesus is supposed to have done, but it's not consistent with Jesus. Now, does it have to be consistent? No. But for you and me, perhaps too, it has to be consistent. Mm-hmm. Or else I will not believe it. And what I am sharing with you is how to let that consistency go. Let those reasonings go and just live in the now, in this very instant. And really, it doesn't matter where San Francisco is, does it?
No.
It doesn't matter where San Diego is. It doesn't matter any of these things. The only thing that matters is that you're sitting right here, breathing, and sharing, and smiling. You know, that's all that matters. Now, honesty is still the best policy. So what is the honesty all about? When you are true to yourself, you can be false to no one. So when we are true to ourselves, then everything we do is harmonious. But you see, you say, I'm a practitioner, you're whole and perfect. Doesn't look like it. Didn't quite make it. And then, you're whole and perfect. Yeah, whole and perfect. Now, come on, you're whole and perfect. Well, and the other person you're speaking your word for doesn't show the wholeness. And where's your logic then? You know, you're using principle. Now, when you get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits, you know, when you get out of the way of principle, then principle is done. But because you're in the way, you're saying, you're not perfect yet, you're not perfect yet, you're not perfect. I spoke my word as a practitioner that you're whole and perfect, and you're not perfect yet. Oh! Dualism. And then you wonder, you wonder why it is so. You wonder why this crazy stuff goes on. And it goes on for one reason. We are inconsistent. Honesty in whatever you believe. Do you believe the work of the practitioner?
Yes.
Do you believe the work of the doctor?
Yes. Oh, you can be a practitioner.
You see, if you do, you're inconsistent.
Yes.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. I would never say anybody shouldn't. But I would say that if you're a practitioner, bunk, it's done. There's no need for a doctor. There's no need for anything. No need for medicine. No need for... If you are instantaneously a practitioner... But man, that takes a lot of really instantaneous necessities. Now in there is an article on Lourdes. And of the 6,000-some-hundred cures that had come out of there since 1857 and 59. And it was very interesting. But many other people believed they were cured, but there was no evidence beforehand and afterhand what went down. And of course, who needs evidence? If you go there and you believe it, it's done. Mm-hmm. Now, did this girl hear Mary talking to her? That's what she says. Was she alone? That's what she was. Was Mary telling her what to do? That's what she said. Did Mary tell her to dig a hole? Yep, and she dug it. And did the water bubble up? Yep, it sure did. And how do you know it was Mary? Maybe it was Magdalene, you know, Mary Magdalene. Maybe it was somebody else, Martha, you know. Maybe some other biblical person. Maybe it was nobody. Maybe it was just her grandmother who had passed on, who was coming to her and saying, come on, Bernadette, dig over here. No, over here a little more. And I'm not trying to knock it, because, I mean, that's it's a wonderful thing to be able to believe and live in anything. And she certainly did a great job. It's just like, Joan of Arc. She believed she heard God telling her how to win the battle for France, and she led the army and did it. Mm-hmm. So, you got the evidence right there. Right there. But everyone didn't agree. Everyone didn't agree. And see, that's when you try to get your logic and your reason to get in there. Because, you see, God would surely not speak to a little servant girl like that and would speak to a little servant girl and not to the priests, you know. Mm-hmm. And this was their lack of humility. But that's okay. These are things that we do. I think that honesty is still the best policy, but man, it's tough. It's tough because we've been raised to lie. And I tell you right now, live in the now, like yourself, and don't make up tales for anybody. If you look at something and it appears to be different than its original purity and integrity, see the original purity and integrity every time. Go for it, my loves. I love you.